Thank you for joining Victory Center Church's Pastor Charlie today. We hope you're blessed from today's message. If you would like to know more about Victory Center, please go to victorycenter.org for more information. Enjoy the message. I know breakthrough is coming.
By faith, I see a miracle. Today is you come expecting. Amen. And he said he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to that power that is working within us. So I believe that he will do just that this morning and meet you and I where we are at. Welcome all of you that are online this morning. Thank you for tuning in. And I'd encourage you that are online and also here to prepare to take a few notes one way or another. However, whether it's the old-fashioned way, pen and paper, whether you're using your smartphone, or whichever you are doing, I'd encourage you to prepare to take some notes. Turn with me in the scripture to actually Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to begin reading to you in about verse 37, Matthew chapter 22, and share some scripture with you. And I may cover this passage also from the book of Mark. Matthew chapter 22, we'll begin in verse 27. Now, a lawyer actually comes here to Jesus and asking him, which is, you know, the greatest commandment. And he talks about the other commandments that actually that he's kept. And he said, yet there's one other thing you need to do. And actually, the lawyer asked him, which is the greatest one, trying to catch him and tempt him, the King James says. And Jesus begins to share here these next couple verses of Scripture, the great commandment. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Now notice as we go through this, he didn't say love the Lord our God with part of our heart. He said all of our heart. No little compartments left in here just reserved for us. He said all of our heart and with all of our soul. That's all of our emotions and also with all of our mind. Then the next verse, please. Now this is the first and great commandment. And then in verse 39, he said, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he talks about on these two hang all the commandments, and there's none greater than those two. But I really want to emphasize to you this morning, verse 37, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Now, Father, we come into your presence this morning anticipating the Master Teacher, the Holy Spirit, to teach us, lead and guide us into truth today. We would declare that this day our lives would be changed in a measure of a greater appreciation for you, a greater love for you, a greater setting ourselves apart for you, and we would be consumed with an all-consuming passion to serve you regardless of the walk that we've been called to in life. May we be passionate about what you're passionate about, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Last Sunday, we began the series, even though we shared with you in relationship to communion, yet we begin to weave within that, you know, how we're all in, and shared with you different examples of being all in. Now, we're going to begin this message this morning, or this series this morning of all in, and continue along that subject and also this morning. Now, as I was studying for this message, I kept getting this verse of Scripture that I just read to you. Just all in, all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind. We're all into the things of God. And several years ago, actually several decades ago, there were missionaries. Missionaries have always been going on since the beginning of time in Jesus' day. But there was a group of missionaries. Probably not a lot of us are familiar with what they were called. They weren't just the Baptist or the Methodist or the Assembly of God, etc. But they were called one-way missionaries. And that caught my attention, so I began to do just a little research on that. And when they got ready to go to what we would call the mission field or the people that they were ministering to, they didn't pack their suitcases. They bought a coffin and a one-way ticket and put their baggage in the coffin. And when they waved goodbye, they sailed out from the shore in the harbor. It was really almost had a finality to it. And most of them actually never came back. And of course, you know, anticipating that, you know, then packing the coffin as your suitcases. But there was one such missionary, A.W. Milne, a missionary, and he sailed to the Hebrides. And he went to a group of people that were headhunters, and he actually did that same thing. They had martyred every other missionary that had come to them. But he ministered among them for 35 years. And when he passed or made the transition from earth to heaven, he wasn't martyred. And on his tombstone, they inscribed these words, "When he came, there was no light." And then when he passed, it said there was no darkness. I use these examples to convey to you and I the importance of being all in. And when I think about this man that went and the one-way missionaries, when you've already died to yourself, you're not so concerned about dying because you've already died to yourself. And you're totally sold out to the things of God. And I'm going to give you some examples in the scripture this morning of people that were sold totally out and then some that weren't sold totally out. They weren't all in. And of course, Simon the sorcerer, I'll probably not turn there, but in Acts chapter 8 is an example of him. He wanted the things of God. He really wanted the power of God. But he really wasn't all sold out. He wasn't sold in or hadn't bought into the plan. And I want to read a quote to you, and probably many of you have heard this quote. A lot of times it's actually attributed to D.L. Moody, and it really didn't originate from him, and I'll share with you here just what this quote reads this way. "The world has yet to see what God can do through a man that is totally consecrated to him." Now, the world is yet to see what God can do with a man that is fully consecrated to him. And then when D.L. Moody heard that from a British evangelist, he wrote in his notes, "By God's help, I aim to be that man." His purpose was to be totally sold out to God. Now, if you're familiar with D.L. Moody and some of his works and what he did, D.L. Moody come from a poor type home. He was 5 years old when his dad passed and left him. Mother with seven children, and she was pregnant with twins, so it'd be really challenging. And so she put the guys to work, her young children to work at a very young age to try to bring money in to support the family. And when he became in his teen years, he was kind of frustrated with that life, and he had some relatives that was in Boston there, and selling shoes, and he went there and sold shoes and really became quite successful at that. And then one day he heard the message and he got saved. And then when in his travels, then he heard this British evangelist make this quote that I just quoted to you when he dubbed under, wrote it, and he said, I aim to be that man. All in. D.L. Moody was uneducated, never was ordained. His grammar was pretty atrocious, but he had a passion for souls. Now, he went on to build a Bible college. He went on to establish churches, a press, and his heart was always pulled towards the younger, the children, because he had trouble growing up. And he built children, he built homes for the boys, and he built homes for the girls. He just did really a lot of things. And he became that man that was really all into the things of God. Just in the New England area, there'd be crowds of 20,000 people come to hear him because he was passionate about the things of God. And he was really all into what he was doing. He was totally sold out. And in the age that you and I are living, this is probably one of the most unpopular messages that there is to preach to our generation or to our congregations about being totally consecrated to God. Now, I'm not saying, I want to make it very clear, that everyone is to be in the fivefold ministry. We're talking about being sold out in the vocation that you are serving in, or you're working in, but you're totally still sold out to the things of God. Totally sold out, whether you be in the fivefold ministry, or whether you're a banker, teacher, whatever you are, learning to be totally sold out. Now, before I give you an example in the Scriptures, I'm going to share this with you. Now, I've shared along this line before and shared with you in relationship to Hernando Cortez. Now, there had been attempts made for six centuries to conquer the Aztecs. The Aztecs numbered 5 million people. They're just, Cortez landed about, if you know where Veracruz is in geography. I've been there. And it's a nice place, but that's kind of where Cortez landed, in 5 million Aztecs. And Cortez left Spain with 11 ships and about approximately 110 sailors and about 553 warriors and 13 horses, what history says. And what the 13 horses was for, I do not know, among that many people. And he made it to there around Veracruz, landed, and then they begin to see how large in numbers the Aztecs were, and some of his men begin to talk about turning back. I think we ought to go back to Spain. And they begin to plant that seed of fear, or we'll never accomplish our mission, among the other people. And Cortez made this order. He said, burn the ships. And they burnt the ships. Then there was no retreat. Now that almost by circumstances had made a choice that they would be all in. And in a 2-year period, totally outnumbered, some of you mathematicians might put a ratio to that 5 million to, you know, not even 700. But they conquered the Aztec nation. They were cannibalistic. They offered human sacrifice. But they had come there, Cortez and his men, after their wealth or their gold. And history has it that they sent large sums of wealth back to Spain. And they asked Cortez, well, how are we going to get back? He said, we'll use their ships to go back to Spain. They were totally sold out. Now, I believe that quote that the British evangelist Farley made, the world has yet to see a man that is totally sold out to God, I believe that to be true. I believe it is a Bible principle as well as just a natural principle. I believe that. Now, I'd like for you to turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm going to share with you about the life of Elisha. First Kings chapter 19. Now, Elisha was just a, what I would call a normal farmer. Maybe not a normal farmer because he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen. So evidently, he had just a few acres in that day. Now, Elijah is just coming out of a time that he ran from God, and then God appears to him during this time and speaks to him and say, hey, I'm not done with your life. I have still a plan and a purpose for you. And he said, I want you to go and anoint certain people, but I'm going to zero in here on Elisha. And he said, I want you to anoint Elisha, and he will be a prophet in your stead or in your place. Now, Elijah had just come out of this season of his life where he wanted to die because he didn't think his ministry was appreciated. He didn't think anybody was hearing him. Anybody cared for him. He said, I'm the only one that's left. And then the Lord ministered to him, no, you're not the only one left. There are 7,000 others that have not yet bowed their knee to Baal. And so I'm going to pick up here in 1 Kings chapter 19, and I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 19 of 1 Kings 19. So he departed from thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plying with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother. Another way, it's and let me go tell them goodbye. And then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to thee? And he returned back from him and took the yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now I find in life, and I also find in life by looking in the mirror at myself, and then also by watching others, that most of the time we have a plan A and a plan B. Now, plan B many times is what keeps us from being successful. We're not all in. Now, this is what Cortez did when he burned the ships. There's no plan B now. We only have one plan, and that is to conquer the Aztecs regardless of how outnumbered we are, get the gold, what we came for. They had no other plan now. They were actually all in. Now, when Elisha is called or anointed by Elijah, he is aware of that anointing. He's aware of his calling in what he is to do. And he goes back home, tells his folks goodbye, and I'll read again what takes place there. He goes back, I'm in verse 21, he took a yoke of oxen, slew them, boiled their flesh, took two ox, two beeves, boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. Now, when Elisha decided to follow Elijah, it says he became his servant. And we'll pick up in 2 Kings here in a moment. He became his servant. Now, he was anointed. The purpose was that he would be a prophet in the place of Elijah when his ministry came to a close. Now, some of you need to hear this closely. He didn't just get a microphone and go. He waited on the right season. Many people today sense the call of God and then they come self-called in what they're going to do. I don't believe there's any calling in an outward ministry that is successful until you first learn to be the servant to the man or the woman of God or to the church. We learn to serve. Now, I believe that Elisha was saying to himself here, I am burning the instruments here, the yoke, the plow. I'm burning it. I'm all in here to what Elijah has called me to do. I'm not leaving a plan B here to go back to the old way of life. Peter did that in a season in his life, and then he quit it. And he got all in. Now, there's some of us or some of you here this morning. You need to make a defining or a quality decision and eliminate the possibility to make it easy to go back to the old way of life that you come out of. You need to make a really quality decision. I'm not going back to this old way of life I've come out of. And when we go back here in relationship to Cortez and also Elisha, we'd say you need to burn the ship or the instruments of past failures. You need to burn some ships or plowing instruments of bad habits. You need to burn some ships or the instruments of oxen of past regrets. And then we go on in shame and guilt. You just need to get rid of it. God is not going to hold it in your face. When you do business with God, it's gone. Religion would try to hold it and smear it again in your face again and again and again. You need to make a defining decision. I call it a quality decision. Eliminate some of these areas that make it so easy to go back into that old lifestyle. Get rid of plan B. Whatever that might be in your life. So Elisha makes the decision, hey, I'm all in. Now turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, 2 Kings chapter 2 gives the account of where Elijah is getting ready to make the transition from earth to heaven. Now, Elijah, he really didn't need to burn the plow equipment. He didn't need to sacrifice oxen to follow Elijah. But he wanted to make that all-in moment. I believe that everyone goes through an all-in moment. Margaret and I went through that all-in moment when I quit my job. All-in. I mean, we committed. We were all in. Now, 2 Kings chapter 2. Now, Elisha serves Elijah for approximately 9 to 11 years in there. He's his servant. He poured water on his hands. He just served him. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind. You know, Elijah never dies a natural death. And interesting with Moses also, Moses and Elijah was there at the Mount of Transfiguration. You know, no one knew where Moses was laid to rest or took him. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Now they go from Gilgal to Bethel. I keep reading to you. I want you to pay close attention to the conversation that Elijah has with Elisha. And Elijah said unto Elisha, "Tarry here, wait here, you don't need to go with me. I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel." He said, "Hey, God sent me on down to Bethel. You don't need to go. You just well stay here at Gilgal." And Elisha said unto him, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they went down to Bethel. Now they get to Bethel. Then the sons of the prophets, and or the school for the prophets there, then the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou not that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Now hold your peace." Now when you are all in, oh, I am all in, we die to some of the things sometimes that we want to do that would be convenient. Now they go to Bethel. Sons of prophets, "Hey, Elijah's out of here today. Did you know that?" Elisha surprised him and said, "Yeah, I already know it." And then in verse 4, "And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee," or "you stay here with the prophets. Get prophesied over. I'm giving you a word. Stay here. I've got to go on down to Jericho. For the Lord has sent me to Jericho." Now, when you're all in, it's probably not going to be convenient, but really the statement I made earlier, when you've already died to yourself, these things, it doesn't make any difference, convenient or not. You don't even consider that. It's just a way of life. "Lord has sent me to Jericho," and here's what Elisha said, same thing he said earlier, "And as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." So they came to Jericho. Now, when we're all in, once again, sometimes things are not convenient. They have a pretty good walk here going on to Jericho from Bethel. And then the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho, or the school of prophets that were there at Jericho, came out to Elisha and said unto him, "Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from the head today?" And he answered and said, "Yes, I know it." So hold your peace. Just kind of back off. I said, I'm already aware of that. And Elijah said unto him, "Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan." Now they was at Gilgal, then they walked to Bethel. And they walked to Jericho. Now they're going to Jordan. And he said, this is what Elisha said, "As the Lord liveth and as my soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And they went on. Now the scripture we read in the beginning, "We love the Lord with all our heart, all of our soul. And the two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by the Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither, so they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou ask a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee, but if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked. Now Elijah begins, I believe, begins to tell Elisha some of the things that he's walked in, how to walk in them. I mean, Elijah walked in the area of the miraculous, the supernatural. Really anointed. Never in the Bible do we have record of Elisha trying to do that. Out of season. And so as they walked together and talked, notice what happens. That behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof, and he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Now, this is not a first for Elisha to deal with something. Elisha realized that he was getting ready now to move into an area because he saw his father, or Elijah, he saw his mentor taken. And now Elijah said, if you see me go, you're going to have a double portion. So Elisha gets rid of his cloak. And he takes up the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, went back and stood by the bank of Jordan, and he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, where's the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Now, Elisha was all in. It wasn't something that, well, if the weather's nice, I'll be right, or I'll be in. If it's not, I'm going to stay at home. He was all in. The Lord is calling his people with that kind of consecration to be all in. I know we have our own agendas, but sometimes our own agendas need to be altered sometime to walk in the ways of God. Guys are really quiet today. I must not be preaching very well. Now then, when you follow Elisha, it's pretty amazing to me. Elisha dies, and they bury him. And then there's some people that are warring, and one of them is killed, and they throw the guy in on Elisha's grave, and Elisha's grave, and there is so much still anointing upon Elisha, this guy comes to life, crawls out of the grave. Now, Elisha, when you follow his ministry, it's almost right to the point of outstanding miracle. He did twice as many as Elijah. But he was all in. Now, I believe that people that are all in, that maybe have a gifting to serve in the ministry, they need to be like Elisha. Take what you know from your mentor and build on it. Do greater works. Do a greater ministry. Because you learned. And now God is going to use you to do greater things. We're talking about those that are really all in. Now I want you to turn with me. And I'm going to look at an example of one that wasn't all in. And turn with me to actually, let's look at Matthew 19 first. And I think I will also look at that same passage in Mark chapter 10. Matthew chapter 19. Now, we hear this referred to as the rich young ruler. Now, that could possibly be worded that way in some translation, but in the King James, you're not going to find that phraseology. And I'm going to begin reading to you here, and let's see, it's quite a... Maybe I can shorten it up just a little bit. I'll begin reading to you verse 16, kind of lengthy passage of Scripture from Matthew 19. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good Master, what good things shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And then he said, well, enlist the commandments. And then in verse 20, the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, when the disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed. They hadn't heard him say things like that. Saying then, well, who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. I want to cover this same instance in the book of Mark because it sheds a little more light on that in Mark chapter 10. And I'm going to kind of take a shortcut here and pick up in actually verse 22 of Mark chapter 10. You've kind of already got the setting from Matthew. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Now, why did he come to Jesus? He wanted to know how to get into the kingdom of God. He wasn't excited about it. He went away. He didn't make that, hey, I'm in. Jesus looked round about and saith unto disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And his disciples again were astonished at these words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, he's calling his disciples children, how hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, so he's not speaking against wealth itself. He is speaking against, and you find the same thing in the book of Timothy, he is speaking against trusting in riches versus trusting in God. There's just a biblical principle. When you give to God, just God has a way of getting it back to you over and over and over multiplied times. It's a biblical principle. And people get hung up on this verse of Scripture saying, hey, God's against riches. No, God's not against wealth. He's not against riches. He is against being stingy. He's against being covetous. And he's against being selfish. God loves a liberal soul or liberal heart. And that the saying is true. We can't outgive God. When we hear the voice of God and we are obedient to give what God is saying to us, God is going to bring it back, that good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and bless God, running over. But the rich young ruler, or the young ruler, would not buy in. He wasn't all in. Just wasn't all in. Think how rich he would have been if he'd have done what Jesus had said to do. But he wasn't all in. Turn with me in the Scripture to the book of Acts. I'm using this passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 5, because it talks about what I would call just good people, Ananias and Sapphira. They were part of the early church. And things are really kind of what we would say popping or booming. I mean, just God's moving, God's adding to the church, people are all in, and the needs are there. Actually, people are at the point they're selling some of their possessions to bring into the church, that the church would be able to function even in a greater way and take care of things that need to be taken care of. And this is the kind of atmosphere that they're living in relationship to what I'm going to begin to read to you. And I'm going to begin in verse 1 of chapter 5. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession. I told you the setting, and just really the close, if you just read kind of the last part of chapter 4, it'll give you the setting this is in. I mean, people were all in. They were sold out. They were set apart. They were about the things of God. They were all in. But in that atmosphere, a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira. Now that tells me already me. Now there's a guy that's not all in. But his wife, they sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also, being privy or agreed with it, to it, and bought and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. I want you to hear me as we go through this first passage. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? And another translation brings out with greater clarity, they left the idea or the concept that they've given all. Now listen to this. While it remained, was it not in thine own? After it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. If you say it was all right, it's still in your power. Why do you want to lie about it? If you want to keep back some, keep it back. But he said, you haven't lied unto men, you've lied unto the Holy Ghost. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. I mean, he died. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried out and buried him. Prepared him for burial, went out and buried him. And about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. I mean, they hadn't even told her that her husband had passed. And Peter answered and said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, we did. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. And she fell down straightway at the feet, yielded up the ghost. The young men came in, found her dead, carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Great fear came upon the church and upon many that heard these things. I'd think so. Two people die in church. Here's the thing I want to get across to you, though, in this money. It'd been all right not to bring it all. But they wanted to deceive people. And here's the total price of the land. We're bringing it to the church. Use it in the building fund, whatever. Use it. Now see this, if you kind of catch that, in the setting of it, this is what was going on. People were selling and bringing it. But there was a certain man that wasn't all in. And him costing his life. When I read that, it doesn't bring fear to me in the way that you'd think fear would come. But it lets me know God does know what I am doing with my money. He knows where I'm being deceptive, or he knows where I'm all in. Now, it's easy for me to make this statement about myself. Now, I ask this question, am I all in today in relationship to my money? And I use the term my money loosely. It's really God's money, God's favor, God's blessing, whatever it is, whether it's large or small. Now, when we began Victory Center, when we moved into this building 3 years after we began the church, we moved into this building. We was at home. We first started in our home. Then we was in the little remodeled filling station where you had dead into coming in from Woodward on 412. Then we went to the restaurant. I don't even know the name of the restaurant. It used to be Acapulco down there. Remodeled that. There's a greenhouse we had to deal with, et cetera. And then we moved here. Now, a lot of people are unaware of this. It's immaterial to me. But the first time we were putting in the heating and air cooling, there wasn't money to pay for it. I personally borrowed money on my credit and paid for it. Why? Because I was all in. I was all in and paid it back. And it didn't take long to pay it back. And here's the amazing thing about it. Can you imagine 3 5-ton units being put in for a little over $7,000 a day? There'd be that and more peace today. Now see, then I ask my question, am I still that all in? I would like to think I was. But I believe we're in a place now that I don't have to do that. I wouldn't recommend anybody doing that. unless you're hearing the voice of God. Because I don't know your commitment, whether you're really all in. I don't know whether you're even a tither. If you're not a tither, you're definitely not all in. It's just the bottom line truth. You're partial in. But if you're all in, we're tithers. We're not holding back from God. It's not you're holding back from the church and holding back from me, etc. You're holding back from God. Darcy, could you say amen?
Amen.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Now, I really don't have time this morning to talk about Abraham that became a man that was all in. But he was all in to the measure that when God asked back for what he had given him supernaturally, that Abraham give it back to him. And I will read that verse of Scripture to you in the New Testament, the account of it in Hebrews chapter 11. And then we'll bring this to a close. Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to begin reading to you in verse 17. Probably should take the time because there are probably people here that don't know that the Lord asked back for Isaac, that he had blessed Abraham and Sarah with their son. He wanted him back, wanted to sacrifice to him. And the promise, as I said, it's going to come through Isaac that you're going to become the father of nations. Your descendants will become innumerable. And then the Lord wants him to sacrifice him, and he actually gets to the point, lays him there on the altar to sacrifice him. God held his hand and said, I see now that there's nothing you will hold back. I would say you're all in. He looks over, and there's a ram or a sheep caught in the thicket, and they offer him up. But this is the way Abraham was thinking. I like the way it brings it out here. Starting at verse 17, we'll read a couple verses. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now notice verse 19 now tells us how Abraham was thinking. Verse 19. Accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. Now, how was Abraham thinking? That God would raise him up because God said it's coming through Isaac. And he knew that God could not alter his word. He was all in, and he knew that he would raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He was all in. And that's why Galatians chapter 3 said that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law for this purpose. That's 13 of Galatians 3:13, verse 14, says that the blessings of Abraham would come on us through Jesus Christ. Now that's what's provided for us when we're all in. Now, halfway is no way to live. Quit holding back. Quit holding out. It's time to go all in and all out for God. Amen? It's time to go all in and all out for God. Now, we didn't major on a lot, but we did major on it. The world is yet to see what God will do through a man that's totally sold out or all in for God. And D.L. Moody, when he heard that British evangelist, Arley, make that statement, he wrote it by, with God's help, I'm going to be that man. Now, we ought to all of us be thinking, I'm going to be that person. I'm going to be that woman. I'm going to be that young person. I'm going to be that man that's totally sold out to God.
Let's see. You are listening to Pastor Charlie from Victory Center Church. We hope you are blessed by today's message. If you would like more information, please go to victorycenter.org. Thanks and be blessed.